Be turning with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll just be reading verses 3 and 4. It's good for us to be together here this evening. Good to see everybody out tonight. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Also 1 John chapter 2 and verse 11. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The idea of darkness and light, being able to see and being blind, and it's a vital thing for us to be able to see, because the one who walks in the light, the one who's able to see and understand the gospel, which is what he's talking about here, the one who understands it, the one who believes it, the one who obeys it, that person is in the light, that person has life. And the person who rejects it, who doesn't understand it, who does not accept it, is in darkness, they're blind, and they're going to die because of it. Now, it says, you know, in the first scripture that we read, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, how does the God of this world or the devil blind people to this? If you'll turn to 1 John chapter 2, read verses 15 through 17. It says here, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever." How does Satan blind people to the gospel? By using their own desires against them. So the person who loves the world is what he's talking about here. And so we need to understand that we have God and we have the world. And they're polar opposites, just like the difference between light and dark. There is no gray between the two. God is perfectly pure, and the world is evil because it rejects God. Now, when he says, "Do not love the world," the things that draw us, if we're not very careful, is the idea of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, or the boastful pride of life. These are the things that people that have that love the world. So, and there is not a person here, and there's not a person anywhere else that is not tempted by one of these things in some way or another. We've all sinned, so we've all at some point succumbed to this, to one of these lusts that we're talking about right here. And there's a part of us, I mean, if we think about what Paul said in Romans, you know, I despise the things that I believe what the Bible says, and my inner person loves that, and yet my outer person doesn't do it all the time. And I hate myself because of it. Because there is a part of us that is tempted to do these things. And if you look in Revelation chapter 3, read verses 17 through 18 here. "Because you say, 'I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing,' and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. It can happen to Christians that we can be blinded just as easy as anybody else if we're not very careful. And that's what he's telling these Christians at the church at Laodicea. He's saying, you think you're rich, you're blind, you're not. You think you're wealthy, you think you don't need anything, but you do. And we've got to be careful that we, because we're all in the world, and we can all be tempted and get caught up in our day-to-day events and be blinded to what's really important if we're not careful. And you'll hear people all the time get blinded to this, but at the same time think that they're doing God's will all the time when they're not. And so we've got to be careful that we don't fool ourselves, because that's how the devil, he uses our own desires against us to trip us up and to make it possible for us not to see clearly as we should. Let's turn to John chapter 1. Starting verse 9. There was the true light which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. What we have to see is this: who Jesus is, what he did, what he taught, and we have to accept that for what it is, and obey it. That's, if you don't want to be blind, if you don't want to walk around with blinders on in your whole life, this is what we got to see. And if we don't see it, then we fool ourselves again. But he's telling us here, he enlightens every man, and he came to those, but those who receive him, it's a choice on our part. Just like it's a choice to reject him, it's a choice to receive him. And that's what's incumbent upon each of us. Look at 1 John again, chapter 1. Start in verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. God is light, and if we accept him as the Son of God, if we obey his gospel, then we can have fellowship with him. And think about it in these terms. If John chapter 8, verses 32 through 34. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. So do you see that everybody that is apart from Christ is a slave to sin? And you see the fact that it can blind people, because the Jews at that time says, we're not slaves to anybody. We're God's people. We're Abraham's children. We're God's people. And he's telling them, you're a slave. But they didn't see it. we've got to be careful. Be careful, but Jesus frees us from sin. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 16, we look at the other thing that Jesus does for those who obey his gospel. 5 and verse 16 says, "The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification." What Jesus also does for us is he justifies us. He frees us from sin. He justifies us. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which will be our last verse this evening, chapter 5 and verse 18. "Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Jesus frees us, he justifies us, and he reconciles us to the Father. That is the light that Jesus is. I mean, and those of us that are able to see this and believe it and obey it, we can be free tonight, we can be justified tonight, we can be reconciled to God the Father tonight. And if we reject it, we're dead. It's that simple. It's the gospel, you don't need a PhD to understand this. But God has made it simple enough, but we have to believe it and we have to obey it. We've got to do that. If there's any here this evening that are not Christians, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you believe that he came to this world, lived a sinless life, sacrificed himself so that we could have our sins covered, if you believe that, he rose from the dead and sits at the right hand of the Father and he intercedes for his people. If you believe that or are willing to confess that before others, to turn from your sins, to be baptized in water, and then to raise again from the water, to walk in newness of life. If those are things that you've not done, take care of this evening. Take care of it. If you need the prayers of the congregation, if something is not right that you need to make right, let's do that this evening as well. If there's any that has a need, please feel free to come forward as we stand and sing.